Hi, I'm Anna Harris, and this is the Defined by God podcast, a support resource for Christians looking for hope and healing from trauma and adversity. Join us as we interview experts, hear stories of healing from real people, and discuss and define common types of trauma, how it impacts us, and the latest and best strategies for healing and thriving. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today, watching the video or listening to the podcast. I am very much looking forward to the conversation and bringing on my guest today. I do want to give you a heads up that the topic that we're talking about can be a sensitive topic and a heavy topic. We're going to be talking about post-abortive trauma recovery. So I just wanted to give you a heads up about that. This is a very safe place for people, and we are only talking about healing and that type of thing. But I wanted to just invite you, if this feels heavy to you, just go ahead and let's take a couple of deep breaths together, and then I'm just going to pray. So, yeah, let's just take a deep breath. Father, I just thank you for every person that is listening today. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for protecting them. I thank you for your love, just surrounding every person listening. And Father, I just thank you that your healing touch, your loving touch is here. You're accessible to every person. We thank you for your comfort. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your graciousness. And Father, we just thank you for every person listening that your presence will be with them as they're listening, and that your presence will be ministering to their hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to introduce you to my guest today. His name is Dave Wernley, and he and his wife have a ministry called Identity in Wholeness, and they work with a ministry that helps people recovering from post-abortion trauma. So I'll let Dave tell you more about it. Bring him on. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Hey, Anna. How are you doing? Pretty good over here.
Yeah, good. Thank you so much for joining me today. And just when we were talking and preparing the other day, I just really felt your heart and your compassion for this topic, for the people that have been touched by abortion. And so just go ahead and introduce yourself and just give us a little introduction of what it is that you do.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So my wife and I run a website called identityandwholeness.com, where we help discouraged Christians hear God for the calling on their life and step into the adventure that God has for them, because God wants to partner with each of us for an exciting and impactful life. We also volunteer with a post-abortive trauma recovery ministry. And we both do, or have done in the past, individual studies with people, walking them through post-abortive healing. The ministry we volunteer with is called Rachel's Vineyard, and we're not leaders or anything. We're just volunteers. But it's a beautiful model. There's, as you know, with trauma, it's not one size fits all. Every person is different. Every individual is different. Every trauma is different. So Rachel's Vineyard does a weekend retreat model, where it's a residential weekend where the retreatants come on Friday morning, and they're there all day Friday, all day Saturday, 2/3 of the day on Sunday. and they stay overnight. So it's kind of, you come out of the world and away from the distraction, just focus on this area, and getting the healing from God that is so desperately needed. My wife and I have also done, I guess Bible studies is the best way to put it, with people. It usually lasts about 10 weeks or so. We'll meet once a week with people, in person if possible, although I've done it over Zoom. But it's kind of Bible study in quotes, because as you know from Bessel van der Kolk's work and your own work with trauma lodges in the body. And if you just do an intellectual Bible study and stay up in the head, you're not going to get to the trauma. It's the other side of the brain, and it lodges in your body. So even when we're doing a quote unquote Bible study, we supplement that with different activities that reach the other side of the brain. It's based on a lot of brain science, mm-hmm. Reaches the other side of the brain that gives people a chance to express what their body is holding and what mm-hmm. their body is feeling.
Yeah. Very good. What made you interested in this type of ministry?
So my wife introduced me to Rachel's Vineyard. My wife is the director of post-abortive healing at our local crisis pregnancy center for a while. Mm-hmm. And she introduced me to Rachel's Vineyard, and it's co-ed. You can go on. We have couples come on retreats. We have, of course, individuals come on retreats, both individual women and individual men. And it's just such a beautiful space. One of our leaders had shared with me that they were sharing about the retreat with one of their friends, and the friend said, "Oh, okay, so what do you tell people to do on the retreat?" And we're like, "We don't tell them to do anything." And their friend was trying to wrap their mind around that, but we don't tell them to do anything. We just set up a situation where they can hear God. It's mm-hmm. all based on scripture. They use what they call living scriptures, which are Bible studies or Bible stories that they make come alive. And they mm-hmm. do that with by going through the story three times. The first time we read it straight from scripture. Because some people aren't familiar with it, or it's been a while since they've heard it, and we want it fresh in everybody's mind. So we do straight from scripture. We actually do a lot of breathing before each exercise, just like you did at the beginning of the podcast. Calm the nerves down, mm-hmm. breathe in the peace of God, breathe out the anxiety. You know, we kind of do that type of thing. We'll read through the scripture we'll read through the Bible story from scripture. And then we'll read it again as a narrative, as a mm-hmm. second person narrative where you are in the story. So if it's the woman caught in adultery, it's describing what it feels like as the ropes are cutting your wrists, as you're getting yanked through the streets of Jerusalem with the mob around you carrying the rock and the angry, judgmental looks on everyone's faces, and kind of getting to the emotion a little mm-hmm. bit, it feels like, and the yeah. other side of the brain. So it's kind of some, and we turn the lights down. We do everything we can to make the room comfortable. It's not just a conference room with metal folding chairs in it and fluorescent lights. We bring in couches, we bring in fabric, we bring in blankets, end tables with lights on them. We turn off the overhead lights. So it's a very soft, very comfortable space. And the third way we go through the story is with some sort of a ritual, where we take a little snippet of the story and we reenact it. And this gives the participant something to do. A lot of times we have props that they can touch, they can feel. A lot of times we'll have smells going. It's one of the things we do on the intake form is make sure nobody is allergic to essential oils or smells, because it's all designed from the pictures on the wall to the fabric on the couches to the props we use to engage the other side of the brain, to engage the body where the trauma might be lodged, to actively do something. For example, when we do the I was talking about the woman caught in adultery. there's a little script that goes along with that when we do the ritual, where one person says to the person next to them, one person gets to be Jesus and the next person gets to be the woman, and the person being Jesus says, "Is there anyone here who condemns you?" And then the other person says, "No, no one, sir." And the other person says, "Then neither do I condemn you."
Mm.
And then it goes around the circle. And so by the time it's gone around, everybody has gotten a chance to be Jesus, and everyone saying, "I don't condemn you." And everyone has a chance to be the woman. There's no one here who condemns me. And it sets up a safe space.
Yeah.
Because this is people's darkest, deepest secret sharing with us.
Yeah.
And that's a sacred trust.
Yeah.
And we want to set up a safe space.
Yeah. That's so good. And we were talking the other day about that. It's really sometimes it's hard to share anything that was impactful about an abortion because in the church, they really don't want to talk about it. It's like it didn't happen. And then other people are like, well, it's really not a big problem. And so, you know, so the feelings that actually do come can just be shoved down really for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's wonderful that there is this type of ministry. I'm going to put that other website up for the rachelsvineyardforhope.org. And you were saying that it's a nationwide ministry and that there's chapters in different places.
Yes. So the it's founded by a woman named Dr. Teresa Burke, and she's in Pennsylvania. Our team in Richmond is the second longest team. We're in Richmond, Virginia, and it's the second longest team that's operated in the world since it's the team she started after her own. It's all around the world, in every state. So the website on the screen is for our team in Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people like to travel, though, and get away from their surroundings, have a little bit of anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
But if Richmond is not convenient for you, or for your listeners, then there is a national site. If you just Google Rachel's Vineyard, you'll go to the national site, and there's a link on there where you can search for a Rachel's Vineyard retreat near you. They're in all 50 states, and they're in many countries around the world.
Yeah. That's so wonderful. How long have you been volunteering there?
Oh, gosh. I guess it's been about 4 years.
Wow. Okay. Awesome.
About 4 years or so. So we've done a couple of retreats.
And what kind of, you know, have you heard testimonies, results, that kind of thing, like of people who have really been helped by the getting some healing?
Yeah, it's life-changing. It's absolutely life-changing.
Yeah. Wow.
We had one woman who came on the retreat and absolutely thought God was going to strike her dead because and she just lived in this fear. And she was able to release that and let that go.
Wow.
She realized that's not God's heart. That's not God's heart at all. God wants all of his children to come home. And afterwards, she ended up having twins.
Aww. Wow.
This is what God does. He restores. Mm-hmm. And he restores better than it was before because it's just who he is.
Yeah. That's so good. And how long do you see people coming for healing? You know, like when an abortion has been recent, has it been months, years? How long?
That's a great question. On the last retreat we did, we had someone who was in their 70s and we had somebody who was 18.
Wow.
So we get some participants who are very fresh from their abortion, and we get others that have waited decades. for their healing. My wife did a study with one woman who said, I've regretted this decision every day of my life for the last 50 years.
Wow. What a weight to carry. Yeah. And what is it, what helps people with the grief and the trauma? What kind of things have you seen that helps people?
So that's it. It's understanding that it's grief work. This is grief work. It's trauma. It fits the clinical definition of PTSD. There's actually a special subset of PTSD called PAS, post-abortion syndrome. And PTSD, of course, post-traumatic stress disorder. There's a good book called Forbidden Grief by Dr. Teresa Burke, who founded Rachel's Vineyard. She's a therapist, and she documents the abortion experience as many women, not all, but many women having PTSD afterwards, and many men, actually. It affects men, actually, also. So you can't get to trauma with an intellectual Bible study. You involve all the senses. Trauma lives in the body. It will lodge in the body somewhere. You've got to involve all the senses. So we do activities that, again, have props, where you're doing something, you're moving, you're touching something, you're feeling something, you're saying things, to get out of your head. There's a coloring exercise we do. It's a picture of a ball of yarn with all these different emotions tangled up and written in it. And the idea is to color the emotions with just what color fits, and it helps get to the other side of the brain. And people realize, I am feeling that. I suppressed it, but I am feeling that. Because you know from your inner healing work, Anna, there's no such thing as an unexpressed emotion. It's coming out, and maybe 20 years later, but it's coming out, and it needs to be expressed. And it really is a forbidden grief. Because the world says, what are you grieving for? This was a good thing. I ain't wrong with your life. You're fine. No reason to grieve. And the church often doesn't let people grieve either, because we don't even let them admit an abortion. How are you going to grieve something you can't even talk about?
Right.
So nobody lets them grieve, and they need to grieve.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's so true.
And that's the healing thing about the retreat, is we give them an opportunity to grieve. We recognize the loss. We let them tell their story. We listen. Some women come on the retreat, and after telling their story, and we set the ground rules as like no crosstalk while anyone's telling their story. We were respecting each other. Sometimes too, the participants will be like, "Oh, let me fix your problem. This is easier for me to work out of your problem than mine." You know, no crosstalk. We respect everyone's story. And for some people, it's the first time in their life that someone has heard their story, that someone has listened to their story.
That's so good. That's so powerful, because people often, they just need to be heard and understood, and just have that compassion like Jesus does.
Well, and for a lot of them, their voice was shut down.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that gets the noisy headlines on the news is, you know, my body, my choice. But that's not typically why people get an abortion. Most of the time, it's coercion. 70 to 80% of women are coerced, and their voice was shut down. Yeah. We had a woman on the treat who said, my boyfriend told me if I didn't get an abortion, he was going to beat the living bleep out of me. Where was her choice?
Right.
You know, she didn't have a choice. She wanted that baby. And that's often the case. So a young high school or college person, this unplanned pregnancy is the scariest thing that's ever happened in their life. So they go the safest place they can go. They go to their parents, who tell them, this is going to ruin your life. Trust us. We'll take care of this. Get in the car. We're going to the clinic. And what, they're not going to trust their own parents in the scariest thing in their life, you know? They didn't have a choice. Their voice was shut down. Nobody asked them if that's what they wanted or not. So just listening. Listening to their stories, like you said, for some, it's the first time.
Yeah.
They've been able to use their voice.
Wow. Mm. That's so good. And I think it's really amazing that that you as a man are feel called and passionate about this subject. And also, you were saying that it has an impact on men as well. Can you talk about that?
It does. And I don't want your listeners to think it's a male ministry. It's not. Most of our leaders are women. We usually do have a couple males team members on the retreat. In case there are any men on the retreat, we have had men come on the retreat because it does affect the men too. So what happens in a man's body is when she's pregnant, her hormones are changing. Her pheromones change. She smells different. His body picks up on that. So his hormones start to change. He gets vasopressin, which is a sexual bonding hormone. It makes him feel attached. Mm. All men have a little bit of estrogen. Now he gets more. He also gets prolactin, which is a breastfeeding hormone of all men. These make him feel kinder. They make him gentler. He gets cortisol. You know, kind of a kissing cousin to adrenaline, you know, nature's way of saying, pay attention, something's happening here.
Yeah.
He gets vasopressin, you know, again, the attachment, nature's way of saying, sit, stay. Mm-hmm. So he's feeling more attached to this woman than he ever has anyone else. And all this is going on chemically, biologically, even if he doesn't know she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. He may not even know.
Wow.
And this is going on. And he's feeling more attached than he ever has to anyone.
Yeah. And this is assuming there's a relationship and they're together.
Right. Yeah. Assuming they're together, if they're living in the same house, he's picking up on the fact that her hormones are changing and his hormones are changing. Yeah. His testosterone drops like a rock. It'll go back up again, but never in his lifetime will it reach the level it was at before his partner's first pregnancy. So what's going on is God is transforming him from hunter aggressor into provider protector.
Wow.
That's design. So then when she has the abortion, he's feeling more attached to her than he ever has anyone. He's thinking, can this be the one? She has the abortion. So what's going on with her biologically is the cells from the fetus, you know, in a natural birth ramp up and ramp down. In an abortion, they're cut short. So after a natural birth, there's always cells left over from the previous occupant of the uterus. There's always some residual cells left in the mother's uterus. And actually, subsequent children pick up those cells. And if you're not a firstborn child, you have cells in your body from every other previous resident of your mother's uterus. That's why sometimes siblings will know there's somebody missing. I'm supposed to have an older sibling. And we've had a lot of stories where a mother will finally tell a child and they'll be like, I know there was, they just know in their spirit that, there was somebody else. They should have had an older sibling because they have some of their cells in their body. So anyway, after an abortion, a woman has 500,000 cells, 500,000 cells from that fetus still in her body, more than after a natural birth, communicating with her about that pregnancy on a cellular level.
Wow.
So she's trying to forget about it as much as she can and move on, and her body won't let her. So what brings it up? What brings it back to her mind more than anything in the world? Looking at him, talking at him, being with him. So she bails. She terminates the relationship she had the abortion to save. And it's a statistical fact that 75% of relationships that experience an abortion fail within the first month. In the first month.
Wow.
Because she can't stand the sight of him. And she's angry. And he's angry. But they're both trying to push it down. This was a good thing. We're going on with our lives now. And they don't connect the dots, and they don't realize that that's what happened, because they never talk about it again.
Yeah.
They never talk about it. So he has this sense that I was attached to this woman and I just got dumped. And I've had breakups before, no big deal. I'll just go out with the guys. I'll find somebody else. I'll drink a little more, you know. But the self-medicating starts, because inside himself, in his spirit knows, even if he didn't know she was pregnant, his spirit knows, because his body knew. And so the downward spiral starts. And I tell guys, if you can go back to a particular breakup, and for some reason you've had breakups before, but for some reason that one was harder, and that's where the addiction started. After that breakup, you may have fathered an aborted child and you didn't even know it. And you need healing. You need post-abortive healing.
Wow.
So a lot of times there's this idea that the abortion is the get out of jail free card for men. And they, you know, the woman's stuck carrying all the pain and they get off scot-free. They don't get off scot-free. And every time they look inside, there's this huge black cloud of failure where their self-confidence used to be. And so they medicate, they do everything they can to drown it out. And they're angry. I went through a study with a man, a study over Zoom with a man over about 10 weeks. And then after we were done with the study, I usually check in with him 4 or 6 weeks later and see how they're doing. And he gave me the best testimonial actually from his wife. Because she said, our marriage has gotten so much better because you're not angry about everything anymore.
Wow.
You're not angry about everything anymore. And as he looked back, as we unpacked the study and we peeled this onion and we went back, he realized that since his late teens, when the abortion experience happened, and it was his girlfriend's mother that made all the decisions, he didn't get a choice, she didn't get a choice, he was angry. And he actually went in the military because he wanted to blow stuff up. And he'd been angry from that point. He just thought that's just who I am. But he never connected the dots.
Yeah. So you saw some transformation with him.
Oh yeah.
That's good.
That's the beautiful thing in the ministry. That's why we fell in love with this ministry, is because of the transformation you see.
Yeah.
People, it's amazing what God does.
Yeah.
Because God's in this. So we do the living scripture exercises, or we do a study, and it's just setting up the environment. We like to say we're just the stagehands, and God does the healing.
So it sounds like the retreat is one thing that's available, but also an individual like study or process that you take people through.
Correct.
Okay. That's so good. I'm so glad to be able to, you know, direct people to this type of resource and just to let them know that it's available as well. I think, just as we're kind of closing, do you have anything else to add? And then I was just going to ask you to just pray for people that might be listening, that, you know, they might, if abortion has touched their lives in any way, they might really appreciate having some prayer today.
Okay. Yeah. I can do that. Yeah. I just want to say, if this is you, you're not the only one. And we talk to pastors who think, nobody in my church has had an abortion. Yeah, they have.
Yeah,
they have. 1 in 3, Christian, non-Christian, 1 in 3 women has had an abortion. Do the math. 1 in 4 men have fathered an aborted child. It affects them too. So you're not alone. That's the beautiful thing about the retreat.
Yeah.
It is as people start sharing their stories. So many times in the room we hear, I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only one that felt like that. I thought I was the only one that went through that. And they're not. So you are not alone. If this has affected you, you are not alone.
I'm just going to put you on the screen so people can just hear you.
Okay. Whether you're a woman or a man, if you've been touched by abortion, there's healing for you. There's a loving God who loves you, who wants you to come home, who wants to have a relationship with you, who wants to be close to you, who wants to bring healing into your life. And I just pray that you would reach out to Rachel's Vineyard or rvforhope.org if you're in the Richmond, Virginia area, or the National Rachel's Vineyard site. You can Google Rachel's Vineyard, or you can reach out to my wife or I at identityandwholeness.com. And let me just pray for everyone listening. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for people like Anna who are willing to have this conversation. And I pray for everyone listening who's been touched by this conversation that that they would hear you, Holy Spirit, that they would feel you drawing them closer, that they would feel you drawing them closer to you, that they would get healing, and that they would give this area to you and receive the healing you have for them, that they would do the work, and it's hard work, but it's worth it. That they would do the work, that they would do the grief work, that they would allow themselves to go into the pain. They're not going to die. You are there, and you walk with us through the pain, Lord Jesus. You walk with us through the difficulty, through the pain, through the trauma, and you have healing for us on the other side. It does not have to stay this way. This is just not the way it is forever. There is healing, and you have healing available. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would touch every heart listening to this that needs healing and draw them to reach out for it and draw them to make contact and make that phone call, send that email, and get the healing that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. And I've put your website up, and I want to let people know, so it's identityandwholeness.com. On the show notes on definedbygod.com/episode29, we have a page for each podcast that we do. And so the websites that we've mentioned, the book Forbidden Grief was what it was called, right?
Yes.
We're going to have all of that on that page. So you'll have all the resources. If you just go to definedbygod.com/episode29, we'll have the links to Dave's website and the other website as well. So you can go there. Thank you so much. This is, you know, I just appreciate your heart for this and your wife's heart for this type of ministry. It's wonderful. And I just want to say to everyone listening that, you know, you're safe with Jesus. Jesus is your safe place. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just reach out to him for healing and reach out to these other resources as well for healing, because I know it will be helpful for you. So thank you everyone for listening. Do you have any last comments, Dave?
No, not really. Thank you very much, Anna. It's been a pleasure to get to meet you and to chat with you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Defined by God podcast. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at definedbygod.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and email list.